Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave my old life behind.
And we're joined on the scoop, as usual, on a Friday edition by Dan Slabov on the Prowl. Dan, Super Bowl Friday, if that's a thing. Happy Friday anyway.
Hey, thanks, Seth. I appreciate that. I don't really know who I'm rooting for in the Super Bowl. I don't like the Patriots, but at the same time, you know, as a North Dakota State University student, I'm a huge Carson Wentz fan. And appreciate everything he's done for the state, for the university, and for the Eagles franchise. And in that sense, I wanted the Eagles to win the Super Bowl with Wentz at the helm. And obviously the selfish part of me wants the Eagles, you know, for Super Bowl. And I don't know. I'm honestly not sure if they've ever won one. So you probably know more. But first Super Bowl in a while for sure with Carson Wentz at the helm. That's what I was originally wanting, but now that Wentz isn't starting, it's tough. Nick Foles seems like a good guy, and it'd be cool to see a second string beat Tom Brady, that's for sure. Yeah, we'll see what happens, but I'm just gonna try to enjoy the game and enjoy all the commercials and the festivities.
Yeah, that's about all you can do. I personally am rooting for a tie, but I don't think we'll have that luck. We'll see how it plays out. It's been fun this week with all the added media presence and attention that has been coming to the state of Minnesota, the Twin Cities. I mean, you can count the number of celebrities that attended the Timberwolves game last night against the Bucks. Bill Belichick, Antonio Brown, to name a few, but Lil Jon was there, and I think there were 10 or 15 others. But it is interesting because after this weekend, the national attention is really going to shift. For the Vikings fans, they have already shifted mostly to the Timberwolves, but the Wolves are going to get a majority of the rest of the share now that football will be done. And looking at how the Wolves have done over the last week, another 2-2 stretch, but one of those losses in particular, that game against Atlanta, not good. 105-100, the loss. They beat Brooklyn and the Bucks, but also lost to Toronto as well. Dan, give us your reaction to the events that we saw this past week from the Wolves.
Well, the road trip was incredibly ugly. Jeff Teague's performance in the Atlanta game was perhaps the worst game I've seen from a point guard in my 9 years of watching, you know, competitive NBA basketball, or 9 years of actually knowing what's going on the court. Just from a, you know, halfway, you know, knowledgeable NBA follower. And Jeff Teague, he bounced back a little bit in Toronto, but overall, our defense was not, the Timberwolves defense was not clicking in Toronto, and they had an 8-point lead for a good chunk of the second quarter, and then they let it up. Toronto was just, they're just a good team, and which makes it obviously really important that you need to beat teams like Orlando, Brooklyn, and Atlanta. And when you don't take advantage of those opportunities, then it puts more pressure on you to defeat the more premier teams of the league. And for some reason, the Wolves have actually, that's not been a problem for them. They've lost to in overtime to a John Wall-less Wizards team, and then the next night they go to in New Orleans and spank them. And it's just a weird year where the quality of the Wolves' opponents has been literally no factor in the outcome of any game. And the Wolves' struggles against the Eastern Conference have continued, and it's phenomenal how remarkably well they played versus the West, which is why they're sitting at the four seed. And also shout out to the Denver Nuggets and Jamal Murray for draining that. And it was Gary Harris for draining that last three-pointer last night to the buzzer being three to beat Oklahoma City to give the Wolves a one-and-a-half game cushion for that four spot. But overall, I think the win last night versus Milwaukee was a nice win, and then the road trip was pretty ugly. They needed last night's win, that's for sure. 11 straight wins at home is something that other teams shouldn't take lightly. And the Wolves are making it tough for other teams to come in and defeat them at Target Center. So that's still the silver lining of the week. And, of course, the road trip and their Eastern Conference struggles continue. So we'll see if they can improve on those in the final remaining 27 games of the season. I can't believe there's only 27 games left, but that's the case. And it should be a very intriguing final stretch.
Yeah, and the Wolves finishing the month of January 9-8. They started February off with that win against the Bucks on a high note, but as something that I'll probably revisit for those who hadn't looked at it yet. I did a post for On the Prowl a while back, just looking at what to expect in the year 2018 for the Wolves. I had them going 11-6 in January. They finished 9-8. So obviously not quite what I had thought, but there were a couple of games in there that could have brought them to that mark. Looking at what we've got coming up for the Wolves, they'll start it off with the Nikola Mirotic-led New Orleans Pelicans tomorrow night, a game that I'll have a chance to see live. And then after that, Wednesday against the Cleveland Cavaliers. So let's take a look at those games, Dan. A good chance for the Timberwolves to take advantage of a couple of teams who have really been down on their luck in the Pelicans and the Cavaliers.
Absolutely. Well, that should be a fun one tomorrow night with Mirotic making his New Orleans debut, and of course whenever Karl Anthony Towns goes up against Anthony Davis, that's always a NBA league pass worthy battle to keep an eye on. I don't quite know if this is the Wolves' last games versus New Orleans. By looking at the schedule, it looks like it is. So this is the fourth and final meeting versus New Orleans this season, and the Wolves are actually 3-0 versus the Pelicans so far. So they'll be looking to sweep the season series tomorrow night, which would probably be the first time the Wolves have swept the Pelicans in a long time. They've struggled versus New Orleans in the past, but this year they've handled them quite easily. And then obviously it's nice because the Wolves just went through a brutal stretch where they played five games in I think it was five games in 7 days or seven games in 9 days in five different cities. And so that was a brutal stretch, probably the second most brutal stretch for the Wolves this season, just second to the stretch that they'll have upcoming at the beginning of March. But the nice 3 day stretch they'll have for practicing practice purposes before heading to Cleveland this next Wednesday to play the LeBron James and the Cavs will be really nice for the Wolves to get rest and just to prepare for the next five or so games before the All-Star break and for the second half of the season. And then obviously they go to Chicago next Friday night, which I'm sure we'll be talking about that week from today. But that should be a fun one, and I'm sure Andrew Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns and all the players that were on the team last year will have a fun time chatting with former Wolves Zach LaVine, and it's going to be a very fun game, and I'm excited to see how Zach LaVine plays against his former team. And if he goes off for 60 points, I don't think I'll care because Zach LaVine he's always been a fan favorite, and he's just a joy to watch, and he has a very charming personality. He really turned a lot of heads in his time in Minnesota because of his hard work. But otherwise, these next two games are going to be interesting because the Wolves are going for 12 straight at home tomorrow night, and then in Cleveland. They'll be facing the Cavs team, who has been in turmoil. They have just been off the roads, and there's been a lot of drama that's been soaked up in that organization in the past couple weeks. And yeah, now with Kevin Love out 8 weeks, that's going to even make it tougher for the Cavs to get on a roll here and before the playoffs start. You know, obviously the Cavs are known to just coast through the regular season and then flip the switch in the postseason and then obviously that's going to be tougher now with a lot of executives around the league and the players themselves and the team really doubting that the team is capable of doing that this year. So the Cavs game is going to be really interesting, especially considering how awful the Wolves throttled them at home earlier in January. So that's going to be interesting. We've got a couple interesting next few games, and it should be fun to watch.
Dan, as we kind of wrap up here today, I did want to get your impression of the Blake Griffin trade. The Clippers were, and we've talked about this quite a bit, the Clippers have been just a frustrating team to watch over the years. They put in all this money to this group, this core of players like Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, and they never seemed like they had enough to get over the top. And now it seems like they are finally coming to the realization that that nucleus is not going to work, as they traded Griffin to the Pistons for Avery Bradley, Tobias Harris, and a pick, plus some other players involved as well. So what was your reaction to seeing Blake Griffin be traded out of the Western Conference and thus making it look like the Clippers will be one team that probably won't make the playoffs when it's all said and done?
I think if you searched random on Twitter, this trade would come up. did Blake Griffin going from the West Coast, beautiful Los Angeles, and you can tell he's kind of got the L.A., feel. He's got the L.A. swagger to him, and moving from L.A. to Detroit is it's probably a depressing thing for him, and I'm not even joking. L.A. has been his life for the past 9 years. He's established a lifestyle there and that he's probably got accustomed to, and now he's moving to Detroit, which is not, from what I've heard, it's not, one of the cleanest and nicest cities in America, but obviously I shouldn't judge too hard considering I've never been there. But I think a couple things to look at is that Detroit is super desperate. They lost 12 out of the last 15 games before that trade, and that's not by coincidence either with Reggie Jackson. He was out for a good chunk after he suffered a sprained ankle in late December. They're actually out of the playoff picture as of now. They're three games behind the 76ers for the eighth seed. And then, of course, last night Griffin made his debut, and they had shirts. They gave out shirts around the arena that said "Blake Griffin, welcome to Detroit." So they already had, they're already on the Blake Griffin train in Detroit. And I can't even remember when Detroit traded for a big time player, signed a big time player. So this is big for them, especially considering that Avery Bradley he probably wasn't going to resign. This is the last year of his contract. Tobias Harris was a solid, very solid wing, but it probably still has another step to go to become a star in the NBA. And then, of course, they had to give a first round and second round pick. But they got Griffin, who is owed a combined $141 million over the next four seasons. So he's a star for sure in the NBA. Is definitely an expensive one, and he turned 29 in March and has had injury issues throughout his career. So it's definitely an awfully risky contract for the Pistons to take on. Overall for the Clippers, it's funny because you look at the team last year and you say, well, the Clippers traded Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, and they didn't receive, any potential players that could be stars that could mold into potential stars in the league, and didn't obtain probably a top 15 pick in the first round of the NBA draft. But in another sense, they're lucky that Chris Paul chose them and went the sign and trade route, because The Clippers could have ended up with absolutely nothing, but instead they got Sam Decker, Montrezl Harrell, and some other nice pieces from Houston in the trade. And then now they're just receiving a ton of salary relief, shipping Griffin to Detroit. And they actually, not only did they save $10 million from its books for this summer, but the Clippers now have just one player with a guaranteed contract for the 2019 and 2020 season. So, and I think they could be gearing up for the truckload of free agents who are, whose contracts expire at the end of the 2019 season, which is Kawhi Leonard, Kyrie Irving, Jimmy Butler, Klay Thompson, Kevin Love, Kemba Walker, and then also players like LeBron James, Paul George, who could be potentially signing one-year deals at the end of this season. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do. Signing those star players at the end of 2019 season, whether they're able to land those guys or they'll go the rebuild route. And then secondly be interesting to see whether DeAndre Jordan and Lou Williams, if they'll be following Griffin out the door. So some things to watch for the Clippers team, who I personally haven't been a big fan of in the past 4 or 5 seasons. But it's going to be interesting to see how they maneuver things around and what kind of team they have in the next few years.
Yeah, it all should be some very interesting things to watch, Dan, and some great insight there into that trade, because I fully agree as well. It's good to see the Clippers decide that it's time for them to move in a different direction, and they certainly got plenty back in return for Blake Griffin. Great stuff this week, Dan. We'll see how the Wolves do here over the next couple of games, and we'll see how the Super Bowl turns out as well. We'll break down the latest couple of games for the Wolves when we talk again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks, Seth.